If you're behind me, I am going to be preaching in Yosemite National Park today. This is going to be a lot of fun up here, but I'm excited about VBS. Be praying this week for real. There's going to be more than 515 kids already signed up to be here this week, plus 200 volunteer leaders. This room is going to be rocking this week, okay? So a lot of fun things happening, but a lot of gospel seeds will be planted, a lot of opportunities for kids to hear the good news of Jesus and have the opportunity to respond. Many of you may have come to faith in Christ as a child because of Vacation Bible School. Maybe you went to Vacation Bible School and God just used that experience to plant seeds in your heart where you began opening your mind and your heart to the gospel. Well, that's what's going to take place right here, is that we're going to be putting the gospel on display. So be praying that God would use our church and for him to work in the hearts of kids as we gather this week. You know, it was August 14th of 2004, Christy and I covenanted together in marriage, and almost 21 years ago. And when we got married, we thought we know everything there is to know about each other, right? I mean, you think, well, I mean, we've been dating for a while, we know each other, everything is good. Well, come to find out, we realized we really didn't know each other that well. One of the things that was a really good grace to us is that before we got married, we did some premarital counseling with Dave and Patty. An older, seasoned couple, wise couple at our local church that we were serving and members of at our last church back in Kentucky. And what was amazing in that experience of premarital counseling is that we had the opportunity to show and tell. They showed us the gospel, they modeled it for us, but also taught us about what godly, biblical marriage looks like. From the scriptures, they would teach us and they would give us wisdom in regards to relationships, communication, all the things that go along with premarital counseling, and it was such a gift. Well, Dave and Patty, years after they met with us in our premarital counseling session, moved to China to be missionaries who would be reaching young professionals with the gospel. They served there for over a decade. They then come back in Kentucky, where they began serving at the University of Kentucky as volunteers, reaching international students with the gospel, serving at their church as greeters, and continually investing into young couples. You see, for Dave and Patty, they leveraged their lives, their marriage, and their kitchen table for the gospel. You see, marriage and ministry go together. When we look in the scriptures, we see another couple that used their marriage for ministry. They leveraged their lives, they leveraged their marriage, and they leveraged their kitchen table to point people to Jesus Christ. Who is that couple? That couple is Priscilla and Aquila. And we first meet them in Acts chapter 18. Let me show you. Grab your Bible and turn with me to Acts chapter 18. Now, for some of you, your Bible automatically opens there because we spent about a year and a half going through the book of Acts, and you may be thinking, oh, great, let's go back to this book again. But no, I want us to see this great couple and how God used them, their marriage in ministry. We're in the middle of a sermon series this summer called Flawed and Favored. Throughout the summer, we're looking at different people in Scripture who show incredible faith and incredible failure. The people we meet in Scripture, now apart from Jesus, there were ordinary, flawed people just like us. Real struggles, real temptation, real doubt, real sin and struggle that they wrestled through. And yet through their brokenness, God displayed his glory and grace in their life. Now in Acts 18, the Apostle Paul is on his second missionary journey. We saw back in chapter 15, he had just left the Jerusalem Council. He made his way to Antioch, his sending home church. And he makes his way back through eastern modern day Turkey, visiting a lot of the churches that he had planted on his first missionary journey, strengthening the church, training pastors, preaching the gospel, making disciples. And then we see him planting more churches and impacting that part of the world with the gospel. He then makes his way across the Aegean Sea into what is now modern day Greece. He gets there, he preaches the gospel in Philippi, where we see the first convert in Lydia, who is the first convert in on the continent of Europe. We see him preaching in Philippi, planting a church. He leaves there, goes to Thessalonica, Berea, Athens, and then he gets to Corinth. And that's where we pick up. Acts chapter 18, beginning with verse 1 in the Holy Scripture, says this. After this, he left Athens and went to Corinth, where he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul came to them, and since they were of the same occupation, tent makers by trade, he stayed with them and worked. It's interesting here. Priscilla and Aquila are just two remarkable individuals who, in my opinion, deserve a place in the Hall of Fame of Christian leaders. Their ministry serves as both an encouragement, but also as an example for us to follow. Their marriage and ministry influenced key Christian leaders. They had significant impact on the local church. In fact, we see them mentioned in four New Testament books. So together, they made a lasting impact on local churches in the kingdom of God. So together as a faith family this morning, as we're looking at scripture, I want us to look at Priscilla and Aquila. And I want us to see several biblical texts this morning. Notice four ways to leverage your marriage for ministry. Four ways to leverage your marriage for ministry. The first is this: follow Jesus and work together as a team. Follow Jesus and work together as a team. In Acts 18, we see that the Roman Emperor Claudius, he declares an edict. He expels all the Jews from Rome. So Priscilla and Aquila, they leave Rome. They move to Corinth. Now at the time, Corinth, which is in Greece, was the largest city in Greece. It was a Roman colony with a population well over 200,000 people. Priscilla and Aquila, they're tent makers by trade, which means they're leather workers. They work with their hands. Their trade gave them flexibility to move and support missions wherever God would call them to go. By the way, if God has given you a job that gives you freedom and flexibility in your schedule, don't be afraid to leverage that for the gospel. Okay, if you can work from anywhere, work somewhere strategic. Find a way where you can leverage your job to point people to Jesus Christ. We see Priscilla and Aquila, we're about to see, they travel to different cities and countries, and as they are sent, the Holy Spirit's working in them and through them, and they become missionaries wherever God places them. So they get to use their job to support their family, to support their ministry, but they're able to go anywhere because they want to reach as many people as they can with the gospel. Well, while they're there in Corinth, they meet another tent maker, the Apostle Paul. Here's a man who has given his life to preaching the gospel, planting churches, training pastors, and advancing the kingdom of God. So now the question is, do Priscilla and Aquila, are they believers before they meet Paul? Or is it Paul who has led them to faith in Christ? We don't know. The text doesn't tell us. But what we do know is that at some point, they did put their faith in Jesus. There was this point in time in the life of Priscilla and Aquila in which they realized that they were sinners. They had broken God's law. They were worthy and deserving of wrath. And yet God, by his grace, sent his son Jesus, who lived that perfect sinless life that they couldn't live. And Jesus died on the cross to satisfy God's wrath towards sin. And through his shed blood on the cross, he made a way for anybody and everybody. Whoever turns away from your sin and you trust in Jesus Christ by faith, you are forgiven of your sin. You are washed. You are clean. You are made right with God forever. This is the gospel of a crucified Savior. But guess what? He doesn't stay dead. For 3 days after Jesus goes to the cross, he rises from the dead. He defeats death once and for all. So anybody and everybody who turns from sin and trusts in Jesus Christ by faith, you are saved, you are rescued, you are redeemed, you are kept by God. We see through the gospel, God rescues and saves anybody who trusts in Jesus Christ by faith. Well, at some point, that happened with Priscilla and Aquila. What we also know, and we see here in Acts 18, that through this family business, they begin this lifelong friendship and ministry partnership with Paul. Priscilla and Aquila, they work together as a team. You see, every time you see one of their names show up in the New Testament, the other one is mentioned with them. Sometimes it's Priscilla and Aquila, sometimes it's Aquila and Priscilla, but they always go together. They're like peanut butter and jelly, right? They stick together. They serve alongside. As husband and wife, Priscilla and Aquila, they are one flesh. They're no longer two, but they are now one in their marriage and in their ministry. They work together as a team. There's not this compartmentalization where you go over here and I'll go over here. No, they work together. They're not separate. They're together. So my question is, if you're married, do you see your spouse as a teammate? Do you see your spouse as a co-laborer, as a partner to serve the king? Or do you see your spouse as a distraction from your agenda? Do you see your spouse as competition? Do you see your spouse as a nuisance? May I say, if that's where you view your spouse, then today it's time to repent. Run away from that posture, that attitude of seeing your spouse as the enemy. No. They are God's good gift to you. They're co-laborers with you. If they are in Christ, they are co-heirs with you. You get to be a team. You work together as one. You're no longer two individuals. You're now one family. What we see with Priscilla and Aquila is they don't see themselves as two individuals, but rather they are working together as one. You get to work and serve together. Now, if you are not married yet, may I say to you, if God wills for you to be married, don't just look for someone who's physically attractive. Don't just look for relational compatibility or financial compatibility. No, you're looking, first of all, does this person love Jesus? Do they love his church? Do they serve faithfully? Do they have godly character? Are you inviting people in to examine and watch their life and their character with you? Or you are listening to someone else's input on who that person is? But you're looking for someone who can be a co-laborer with you, a teammate who can help you advance the kingdom of God together, a true partnership that's working together. Several months ago, I was at the barbershop here in our area, and there was one of the barbers there knew I was a pastor, and he kind of just randomly said, there's this girl I'm interested in, and she's not walking with Jesus. Is it okay if I date her? I was like, well, here we go. All right. So I said this. I said, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're running a race. And your goal is to finish well. And I said, and as you're running your race towards Jesus, you look to your side and you see someone who's running at the same pace as you. She's not sprinting past you. She's not lollygagging behind. But she's keeping in step. She's keeping pace with you as you're following Jesus. And so you agree to take a few laps together. It's courtship. It's dating with a purpose. Are we going to be compatible? Do we encourage each other? Do we help one another get to the finish line better together than we do apart? And I said, brother, here's what you're dealing with. The person you want to date, she's running in the wrong direction. You see, the person that you are looking to marry is someone who is running beside you towards Jesus Christ, and you're pursuing him together, and your goal is for your spouse to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And so you pray, and you labor, and you encourage, and you challenge, and you disciple, and you walk alongside them as teammates, as co-laborers, co-workers, headed towards the same goal. That's what's happening with Priscilla and Aquila. They are headed towards the finish line, and they're doing it together. The second way to leverage your marriage for ministry is to grow in maturity and mentor along the way. Grow in maturity and mentor along the way. See, after serving in Corinth for 18 months, Priscilla and Aquila, they pick up their tent stakes, and they move along with the Apostle Paul to their next stop, which is in Ephesus. Stay in Acts 18, but jump down to verse 18 with me. Acts 18, 18, it says, after staying for some time with Paul, Paul said farewell to the brothers and sisters and sailed away to Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. He shaved his head and at Cenchrea because of a vow he had taken. Paul left this couple, Priscilla and Aquila, in Ephesus, while he sails back to Caesarea, then to Jerusalem, and then on back to Antioch, and then he boomerangs himself right back out again for a third missionary journey. Well, while Paul is out traveling, Paul trusted Priscilla and Aquila to be the solid anchors to provide stability for the church at Ephesus. For however long he was going to be gone, he knew that he had this couple that had the maturity to serve and care for this church in his absence. You see, hear me on this. The depth of your spiritual maturity directly impacts the health of your church. The depth of your spiritual maturity directly impacts the health of your church. You see, your maturity matters. It matters. If a local church is made up of only immature believers, there's going to be sin and foolishness and false teaching. It's going to abound. Mature believers are a gift to the church. And you see, your maturity as a believer and as a married couple, it provides stability to the church. It provides strength for the church. It provides a steadying presence in the church. You see, Paul left this husband and wife to be a steadying presence in the church at Ephesus. And then we're going to see how important it is when a new teacher shows up named Apollos, who begins teaching things that aren't entirely accurate. Move with me forward from Acts 18 down to verse 24. It says, now a Jew named Apollos, a native Alexandrian, an eloquent man who was competent in the use of the scriptures, arrived in Ephesus. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately about Jesus, although he knew only John's baptism. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. After Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained the way of God to him more accurately. When he wanted to cross over to Achaia, the brothers and sisters wrote to the disciples to welcome him. After he arrived, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed. For he vigorously refuted the Jews in public, demonstrating through the scriptures that Jesus is the Messiah. This eloquent preacher named Apollos shows up in Ephesus. And I love how the King James translates verse 24. It says he was mighty in the scriptures. He knew the word, and yet his teaching was incomplete. He only knew John's baptism. You see, despite his knowledge of the Old Testament, he didn't fully understand the gospel. He didn't see how the Old Testament found its ultimate fulfillment in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So what do? Priscilla and Aquila, they pull him aside. Hey, Apollos, come with us. We want to take some time. And they begin to mentor him. They disciple him. They unpack for him who Jesus is, how he is the one whom John the Baptist was pointing forward to. They directed Apollos to the cross, where God provides a way of reconciliation back to God through Jesus Christ. And it's through the cross where we are reconciled back with one another. We see the humility here as he selflessly, humbly listens. Okay, this is a preacher who's eloquent. He's articulate. He knows the Old Testament scriptures, and yet he's humble enough to receive the correction of this seasoned, godly, mentoring couple. And I love this relationship because they have the courage and the humility to pull him aside and say, man, we need to talk to this brother. We need to kind of give him some clarity and direction. So they come alongside and they mentor him. They disciple him. This is beautiful. Humility on display. Apollos is humbly listening and receiving mentorship from this couple. Here they are pouring into him. He receives the message. He receives the instruction. And it's amazing here because this couple, because Priscilla and Aquila mentor him, the church was strengthened. A preacher is discipled. The message goes forward even into Achaia. You see, when you mentor people in the scriptures, the church enjoys the fruit of your labor. When you mentor people in the scriptures, the church enjoys the fruits of your labor. The church at Ephesus sends Apollos out as a preacher, and because Priscilla and Aquila discipled this brother, because they poured into him, because they mentored him, now he is dangerous for the kingdom. He goes into Achaia, and he is going toe-to-toe against these religious leaders. And the believers there are having their faith strengthened because this couple met with him. They pulled him aside. And because of their maturity and their mentoring, this is now a powerful preacher for the gospel. Westwood, can I say it like this? You get to enjoy the fruit of the labor of those who have come and mentored me. I can get emotional thinking about all the men and women who have poured into me, who have instructed, discipled, come alongside, poured into me, that by God's grace, people who have poured into my marriage, I think of Dave and Patty, Cheryl and Richard. I think of David and Patty Joe. I think of Bill and Judy. I think of Dwayne and Debbie. I think of Tim and Shay. I think of, there's someone I'm forgetting, Vaughn and Carol, Mike and Reva. These are people you don't know. I know them right here. And for some of them, I can close my eyes and I can hear their voice of wisdom, their voice of instruction, their voice of rebuke, the time in which they prayed over me and over my wife. It's amazing the gift that mature marriages can bring, that the church is strengthened through your maturity and through your mentoring, that you get to invest in future generations. And this is what's happening here. You see, as you mature in the faith, you get to do the same. As a husband and wife, you get to do the same. You, as you have matured and are maturing in the faith, you get to come alongside those who are not as far along as you are. And you get to be that voice into their life. And you may not get to see the fruit of your labor. Okay, the vast majority of the names that I just mentioned, they're not here. They're in a different state. They don't get to enjoy the fruit of their labor. You do. And when you pour into other couples, you may not get to see or to experience the fruit of your labor, but make no mistake, the gospel is going forth. As Priscilla and Aquila are pouring into Apollos, he takes his ministry all the way to Achaia. And while he's there, the church is strengthened, and the fruit of their labor is now overflowing for new believers in a far distant place. You see, this is what's beautiful. The church is blessed and strengthened through mature believers investing in younger believers. Y'all, that's our mission statement as a church. Westwood's mission, investing in people who will impact their world for Jesus. It's the Great Commission, using our language. We invest in people, right? We teach the scriptures. When Jesus gave the Great Commission, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. Okay, there is a discipleship component, but there's a sense in which we just don't want you to grow in knowledge, although you do. You want to think biblically. You want to be able to grow in your knowledge of the scriptures. You want to be like Apollos in chapter 18, verse 24, where he's mighty in the scriptures. But it must be wrung out like a sponge. What you receive, you've got to pour out onto others so you can go and impact your world for Jesus. I'm kicking things over. You want to be able to go and impact your world. Who do we do it for? For our fame, for our logo, for our brand? No, we do it for Jesus. It is all for his glory. It's about Christ. We want people to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. We want to see more and more people grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. Because when you know him and when you trust him, you begin to realize he is so sweet. He is good. He is strong. He changes the way that you think. He changes the way that you feel. He changes the things that you believe. He's conforming your character into his own image, Romans 8:29. That those whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed into his image. That God is over time making you more and more like Jesus. And what does he use to do that? Older, godly people in your life. Mentors who disciple you and teach you in the truth. That's what's happening here with Priscilla and Aquila. They're taking their maturity and they're pouring it out into others. Maybe you're here today saying, you know what? I'm not as far along spiritually as I should be. There's got to be some more maturity that takes place in my heart and my life. And I encourage you, man, find some older, godly, wise men and women and take them to coffee. Get breakfast. Get in a small group where you can learn and be discipled in the scriptures. Get into a D group where you can get into some accountability and you dig deeper into the scriptures. But you got to realize it's not just about you accumulating maturity. You've got to pour that out onto somebody else. There are people right here in our church and in our community who need your wisdom. They need your grace. They need what God is teaching you and you pour out onto them. That's what's happening with Priscilla and Aquila. Third thing I want you to see in the text. How can you leverage your marriage for ministry? Is fulfill the Great Commission together. Turn with me to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, it's just one book over. You have Acts, then you have the book of Romans, and go all the way to the big number 16, Romans 16. I love this book, probably my favorite book in the whole Bible. Paul's writing to the church at Rome. He gives a theological magnum opus. It's the book of Romans. Man, rich theology. Here in Romans 16, he's giving his final shout outs to the church at Rome, people whom he has loved and cared for. And you see, at some point, the Apostle Paul's life was in danger. And so he takes time to declare in the eternal word of God how grateful he is for Priscilla and Aquila. Look with me at Romans 16, beginning with verse 3. Paul says, "Give my greetings to Prisca and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life. Not only do I thank them, but so do all the Gentile churches." Don't miss verse 5. "Greet also the church that meets in their home." For Priscilla and Aquila, the mission was more important than their own lives. Maybe it was when the Jews were rising up against Paul when he was in Corinth and he was being threatened in Acts 18. Or maybe it was when the riot broke out in Ephesus in Acts 19 and the Apostle Paul was trying to go into the amphitheater, where it's 25,000 people screaming at the top of their lungs, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians," and he's eager to get in there to declare the gospel to 25,000 people, and yet the church is holding him back. Like, "Paul, you go in there, you're dead, bro. Don't go in there." They're holding him back, right? That could be. Whether it was in Corinth or in Ephesus or some other event, we don't know. Paul's life was in danger, and who was there to protect him? Verse 3, Priscilla and Aquila. They risked their lives. Additionally, the Gentile church of Corinth and Ephesus, they were grateful for this couple who now at some point have made their way back to Rome. And Paul's acknowledging them in Romans 16. He's greeting them, which shows their commitment to the mission of the Great Commission. They're willing to risk not only their lives for Paul, they're moving from city to city, working to strengthen churches. I mean, this is glorious. A husband and wife willing to do whatever it takes to see the gospel thrive in the hearts of people. Like, this is like a holy adventure. They're willing to risk it all for the sake of the king and his kingdom. Their yes is on the table. They're eager to serve Jesus wherever he sends them. If you are single, this is the kind of person you want to marry. Okay, if you're not married yet, and if it is God's will for you to be married, this is what you're looking for. Someone's going to say, man, let's go risk for the kingdom. Man, let's go. Sign me up for that, right? Like, this is wonderful, seeing this couple. They're probably best friends, but they're risking it all for the kingdom. What if you who are married begin to think, what are some creative ways that we can share Jesus with our neighbors? What are some things that we can do so that we can have an impact for the kingdom? Maybe you prayerfully consider, where can we go in the world to impact people with the gospel? What does it look like to start a Bible study in our living room for our neighbors? I mean, you can think outside the box, but you pray and say, God, how can we leverage our brief, temporary lives that are here today and gone tomorrow? How can we leverage our marriage for the sake of the kingdom? Lord, help us to take risks, not to play it safe. Man, the gospel is too valuable to play safe, right? We take risks. See, towards the end of his second missionary journey, when Paul left Ephesus, the church was meeting in the home of Priscilla and Aquila. They're like, everybody get over here. They're leveraging their back porch, their kitchen table, their living room. Everybody get in here. Church, this is where we're going to meet, right? Now, here in Rome, they're doing it again. Paul says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, the church that meets in their home. Verse 5, right? This is wonderful. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 16:19, Paul says, the churches of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Priscilla send you greetings warmly in the Lord, along with the church that meets in their home. They're leveraging their dining room table. They're leveraging their living room, their back porch, for the glory of God, for the advancement of the kingdom, for the good of the local church. So ask the Lord, God, what would you have us to do? In our marriage, how can we move the needle of lostness? How can we reach more people with the gospel? They took a risk and leveraged their marriage for the Great Commission. And the Gentile churches gave thanks for them. So you follow Jesus and work together as a team. You grow in maturity and mentor along the way. You fulfill the Great Commission together. But fourthly and finally, you commit to finishing well together. You commit to finishing well together. As the Apostle Paul writes his farewell letter, 2 Timothy. He writes it from a Roman prison, knowing that his death is imminent. He could be a few days or weeks, maybe a few months, we don't know, from being beheaded for his faith in Christ. So he writes a letter to young Timothy, his young protege in the ministry, young man whom he has discipled, who's pastoring in Ephesus. And who's there in Ephesus serving alongside Timothy? Still following Jesus, still working together as a team, still growing in maturity, still mentoring people, leveraging their marriage, leveraging their kitchen table for the Great Commission. It's Priscilla and Aquila. 2 Timothy 4:19, Paul says, greet Prisca and Aquila in the household of Onesiphorus. They're still there, still leading, still loving, still serving, still showing hospitality. They're in it for the long haul, all the way to the end. Aquila and Priscilla were teaching and modeling the gospel that they had learned from Paul, and they were still running the race, even as Paul was about to finish his. What if you together as a couple said, let's finish well together, all the way to the end? Let's be picking up the pace. As we get closer and closer to the finishing tape with Jesus on the other side, what if we committed together, let's get going, and let's take as many people with us as possible to that day? So here's the challenge. Kenneth, what are you calling us to do? It's your impact point. It's this. Husbands, lead a discussion with your wife. Take the lead, men. It's God's call on your life. Lead a discussion with your wife with this question. How can we better leverage our marriage for the Great Commission? You discuss, how can we leverage our home? How can we leverage our money, our time, our gifts, our wisdom to advance the kingdom? Pray and ask how you can reach more people with the gospel and mentor future disciples. God has called husbands to lead, so men lead. Facilitate this discussion and pray and consider, what does this look like for us? When I was in college, every Sunday, me and my roommates would go to the home of Coach and Billy and Betty Jo. And we'd go to their house. It was a real small, quaint home right off the church property. And as college students, we were always hungry. And we'd sit down to a feast every Sunday afternoon. Betty Jo would make us green beans and mashed potatoes and a roll with roast and usually a cherry pie or cobbler, ice cream on top of it, sweet tea. Y'all are getting hungry. I know, I see it in your eyes, right? And we would feast, right? All these young 20-year-old men around their kitchen table. And Coach Cravens would finish his plate. He'd put his elbows on the table. He'd cross his fingers like this. And he began to teach us about marriage and leadership, how to manage a home, how to lead in the church. Around that table were preachers who are now serving all over the world. I'm one of them. And because Betty Jo and Coach David Cravens leveraged their kitchen table, I'm a better follower of Jesus, husband, father, and pastor because of it. You get to do the same. Future generations, the church being strengthened, the gospel going forth through husbands and wives, like Priscilla and Aquila, like Dave and Patty, like Betty Jo and Coach, and like you. Let's leverage it for the sake of the kingdom. Let's pray. Oh, Father, I thank you that you graciously invite us to join you in your work. It's amazing to me, Lord, that you allow us to be a part of seeing people come to faith in Christ, of mentoring future generations. And Lord, I pray that we as a church would grow in humility and maturity. I pray that we would continually grow more in love with Jesus. I pray that our hearts would be continually stirred and warmed towards the gospel. Give us a posture of eagerness to tell future generations how they can be faithful to Jesus. I pray, God, for future coming conversations that are going to take place on car rides, at kitchen tables, as husbands and wives are prayerfully considering how they can leverage their time that they have left to point the future generation to you. So, Father, would you meet with them? Would you give them wisdom and grace? Holy Spirit, guide their conversations. I pray for future fruit that would come forth. I pray Westwood would be strengthened. Our church would be more faithful, more healthy, because we are madly in love with Jesus and we're eager to love one another all the more as we see the great and glorious day of your appearing. I pray you would strengthen marriages in this room. Lord, I know there are many in this room who are walking through some very difficult, painful trials, and yet your grace is sufficient. Hope remains. Jesus is still alive, and you are able to rescue and save and redeem. And so, God, would you do it in Jesus' name? Would you display your beauty and your power and glory on display through the hearts and lives of your people? Would you transform even generations yet to have been born because of what you do in the hearts of your people today? So, Father, bless your word and bless your people. Would you use us for your glory? If you're here today Would you take some time right now and pray and say, Lord, what can our marriage do for the kingdom? Would you just pray that right now? Lord, we want to obey you. What do you have for us? Lord, with however much time we've got left, help us to leverage it. Our money, our time, our home, our wisdom. Maybe you're today and you're single. Would you take time to pray for the marriages in this room and in our church? Would you pray they'd be strengthened in the gospel? Would you pray that they would grow in maturity? That their love for one another would be ever increasing. As our enemy hates marriage because it reflects Christ and his church, would you pray that for God's protection upon marriage? Would you pray that God would help you to leverage your life, whatever that looks like, for the sake of the kingdom? Maybe you're here today and you don't know Christ. If you don't know Jesus, please don't leave our campus without trusting in Christ. At the close of our service, we'll have some folks over here at the next steps up to your right. They'd love to talk with you about putting your faith in Jesus. Father, I thank you that you love your church and you love the marriages here. God, would you use us to fulfill your great commission? Bless us and use us not for our fame, but for the fame of your Son. The one who knows us and loved us and calls us by name, the one who came and gave his life and rose again, is seated on high and is soon returning to rescue your church. Thank you, Father, that you are good and you are up to good. So bless your people, I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. So, so grateful for you gathering today to worship. We're going to continue our worship in just a moment out in the atrium. There are boxes out there in which you can give. You can also give online or through the Westwood app. Now, coming up in a few weeks, we are going to be sending out a mission team to go to Eswatini, Africa, to take the gospel to the people over there. Here's where you get to play a part. At the close of our service, I would invite you to stop by one of the kiosks right out there in the atrium next to the Welcome Center. At the kiosk, we have note cards that we're asking you to stop and pick up. You'll fill out and write encouraging notes and prayers for that team, and you'll bring them back next week and you'll turn it in. And that way, the team that is going to Africa will have those cards with them. So I want to invite you at the close of the service, stop by the kiosk. They'll give you a Ziploc baggie with these cards in it. All the instructions are written there for you. But it's a way that you can pray for and encourage people right here from Westwood who are going to Africa with the gospel. We also, throughout the summer, are having kids right here in the worship service. And kids, I'm so, so glad that you are here. And so as a way to kind of make sure that you're paying attention, I've got some Smarties on me that I want to throw out to kids who are paying attention. All right. So you can throw up your hand if you got an answer. Who was the sermon about? A husband and wife, what was their name? Who can tell me? Throw your hand up. Did you get one last week? Yes. I thought we wrestled for it last week. Yeah. Who was it about? Priscilla and Aquila. That's excellent. Very good. Priscilla and Aquila had a job. What was their job? All right. So Benjamin, your brother got it last week. I'm going to go for you. What was their job? What did you say? Sounded good to me. Right there, heads up. I love it. Tent maker, that's right. Priscilla and Aquila worked alongside an apostle. What was that apostle's name? Okay, I see a hand right there. What is his name? Paul, come on now. I love it. I didn't make it. Oh, so sorry, Jenna's family. I'm so sorry. Okay, now this last one is broken, so if I throw it, it's going to scatter. So, let's have some fun. Someone else from the sermon. What's the question, guys? Help me. I just preached it. Okay, we read from what book of the Bible? Just pick one. We'd pick from several. Acts, that's going to spread wild. Oh, it stayed together. Fantastic. Oh, very good. I love it. Y'all, I want you to know I'm crazy about you. I love you so much, but Jesus loves you more. Let's go and impact our world for Jesus. May God richly bless you. We are sent. God bless you.